Okay. Wait, we have to talk about a movie.
Wait, no, we need to hurry up so your Chipotle doesn't get cold. There's nothing worse. There's a movie that I want to see, but I want you and Isla to watch it first to see if I'll like it.
Okay, what is it?
Ron's Gone Wrong.
Oh my God, we saw it yesterday.
Did you?
Yes.
Is it good?
It's great. It's really good. You should see it. It's really like, good.
I feel like I am long past my window to watch cartoon movies in the theater without a child.
I feel you, but...
But I still love them so damn much.
It's so cute. And we, like, the first 5 minutes was nonstop laughter. So there was probably, like, 20 people in our theater. And I heard the adults laughing so hard the entire time. But especially the first, like, 5 minutes, everyone's just, like dying laughing. It was so unexpected to be that funny and that charming and it's heartwarming. And, like, it was also commentary on, like, society today and, like, a really... easy way to understand, you know, like it was very simple. So the kids could kind of get the message, but it was like glaringly obvious to like, to you and I, you know, but it was really interesting. It was fun. And I just, yeah, it was really enjoyable.
Is it Stop Relying on Technology or what?
Yeah. It's basically the beginning and the demise of Mark Zuckerberg. Told in cartoons.
Nice.
They even named the guy Mark, which I thought was really interesting. And I was like this, you know, yeah, it was really good. I just enjoyed it. And I remember like a couple times just sitting there watching the movie and being like, oh shit, I gotta make sure she's not choking on popcorn and like pay attention to my kid. But it was just really good. I liked it a lot.
Oh yeah, I'll have to check it out then.
Yeah.
Is your guys's like home theater the Folsom Center? Or do you go to somewhere else?
We live like within walking distance of that theater, literally.
No way.
Yeah, for real. Like right behind it is where we live, which is super cool, but they don't have recliner chairs.
Yeah, that theater needs to like, it needs a revamp, honestly, but they already did that other one. That's like
the Palladio.
Yeah.
That's where we go. So we usually go to the Palladio. That would be like our home theater, I guess.
Yeah. But you're walking distance to a movie theater.
I know.
I know. The Folsom one, my grandma and grandpa used to take me to one all the time.
Yeah. That was what my first date was.
For who?
Crazy.
Ever?
Ever.
Oh, cute.
Yeah.
What did you watch?
I think we saw Harry Potter. That was whatever one was when I was 16. So probably the fourth one, Goblet of Fire.
Okay. Cute.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's a long date movie.
I know, but we were already like feeling each other. It was like our first kiss that night ever and with each other, like his first kiss too.
Some might say that you had a magical night.
Some might say it was a magical moment. Yeah.
Cute.
Yeah. Anyhow, speaking of going to the theater, I really want to do that this weekend to see Dune because I saw Dune. We have to do Dune.
Do we? Let's do it.
Do Dune. Sounds weird. Dune. It sounds like the Netflix opening. Do Dune. yeah. It's really good. It was great at home.
Yeah. So now you're ready to take it to the next level.
Yeah. I was like, if I'm going to watch it at home, I can't wait any longer. So I had to just watch it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I might not like it here and that's okay. Like I still have a date with it later, but I freaking loved it.
Did you watch the other movie too? No.
I couldn't find it. The French Dispatch.
Are they showing it at Tower maybe?
Yeah, I don't know. Mm. No, I didn't watch it.
Well, because it's having a more wide release this
later.
Weekend.
Yeah. Okay. What did I say? Oh yeah. I was talking to Anthony, of course, and then this guy Rio. He said something about it being cinematic, and we've just been like geeking over how it's just, it is just pure cinema. Like, it does feel like a love letter to movies, like from the director. And it's just everything you love about the movies is like big grandeur, beautiful shots, and like sound that makes your chest rattle right when you're in the theater. And it's like, it feels like it's immersive. And you also love like the heartwarming moments and the funny moment, right? Like all those things that you love about the movies was just like packed into one film. And it was like so beautiful and fun. And like, oh my God, you got to see it. We got to do it. We have to do it. We have to talk about it.
Twitter was ablaze.
Yes. So I just feel like we would be fools to not talk about one of the best movies to come out in a long time, at least for us cinema geeks, you know.
Let's do it. Hey, Dune. What you
hey,
doing?
Hey, Dune.
What you doing, Dune? We got to stop immediately.
Okay, I know. It's immediately. I'm getting to the part of the night where I'm just like, I have to do snack tomorrow for preschool.
What's the snack?
Bro, I decided I was going to go all out. Because these ones are bringing.
It should just be ants on a log.
Why did I do it? Why am I doing it so big?
Oh my God, what are you doing? What are you doing?
I'm literally like setting up a whole table. Like I have table decorations and everything. I went to the Dollar Tree and they had everything. So I just went balls to the wall and now I'm halfway through cooking and it's like too much.
What are you cooking? Our audience wants to know.
I made two batches of Rice Krispie treats. One is orange, one is green. The green ones are super cute in squares as Frankenstein. So I found like these little eyeball decorations.
I love it.
And some like chocolate frosting for the hair and then Tootsie Rolls for his bolts. Super easy and cute. And Isla made a couple, but also like I have 20 more to make. Like, and then I have these orange ones for pumpkins. I'm going to do the banana ghosts tomorrow where it's like half of a banana and like how it curves. It kind of looks like a ghost coming out of the ground. It's like chocolate chips as the face. It looks like it's been like, ooh. It's really cute. And then what else was I was doing something else too.
This is crazy that we just created a new segment.
I feel like it's Emily complains about preschool.
No, it's reason why Vincent doesn't have children. It could be both.
Yeah. Both. For sure. I think I just got like excited. It's like my first snack. A snack mom. You know what I mean?
It sounds like you're gonna kill it, honestly.
I'm gonna crush it. Let's be real. But then I'm also gonna be super tired and cranky. And I'd rather be doing a lot of other things. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I bet.
But
well, if it helps at all, I did just get a letter for jury duty summons.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
Have you ever done it? Or no?
Yeah, I have.
And?
Okay, so like I got called in and like they were telling us that it was like a murder case and that, you know, if we were selected, we would have to be there for weeks probably.
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck, I want to do it, but I don't have a job that will allow me to do it. Like, they'll give me 3 days off, you know?
What? For paid.
Yeah, they'll give you three paid days off, but that's it. So if you're there longer than that, then you're on your own.
Oh, my God.
I know.
I mean, they pay you, but it's, like, not a lot, you know?
Oh, they do?
Yeah, I think I got, like, $500 for, like, 8 weeks, you know? It's not that much, but it's something.
You were on a jury for 8 weeks?
Yeah.
Oh.
Didn't I tell you this?
I don't think so.
The girl that got hit, she was like, okay, I'll tell you. I loved it, though. I had a great time.
I would make that my full-time job if I could.
I know. And we were like, they said we were a highly sensitive case and like nobody could work and like, whatever. I didn't realize it was such a high profile case until later on when like reporters were bum rushing us after the day was done.
Oh my God.
I was like, I can't talk to anybody. Also, why are you talking to me? Like there's a murder across the hall from us. And then there's also like, it was like a triple like molestation case. Like the dad raped his kids next door to us. And we're like, those are for sure the high profile cases. It's not us, you know, because ours was this girl. She,
are you allowed to talk about this?
I can now. Yeah. Cause it's settled. Okay. And everything. She was, so I guess, do you see Davis picks like four potential doctors that they want to take in for their like residency, and then they kind of breed them and then stay. Yeah, this is crazy. So they take in four every year, like four period, not like four from like this school, but like four total in the world, whoever applies there to be a doctor.
Wow.
And so this girl, she was their number one pick and like the pick. They were super excited because in graduate school, like in medical graduate school, her last year, she discovered a cure for a strain of leukemia. So like, yeah. And that leukemia typically happened like in children. Like that was the most common leukemia found in kids, was the one that she cured, basically.
My God.
So they're like, we're going to cure cancer with this one. You know what I mean? Like that was the promise, basically. Like she was going to be one of the top doctors in the cancer world. And so she was four days into her new life as like this amazing doctor. And she was on her morning run and she hit by a car. She flew 15 feet into the air. It just, how it hit her, the speeds we learned about, the curvature of the row, everything was magical in that moment to just send her fucking flying into the air. She ended up being about 20 feet from the car is where she like landed. And this lawsuit that we were dealing with was that the crosswalk was unsafe because they had already sued that driver, obviously. And they got a little bit of a like settlement, but like, it wasn't anything to help. It was just basically getting him off the road. Like his license was revoked. And so ours was like to get money from the city and say like, first of all, it's unsafe, the crosswalk. And then B, we need her parents, like we need money to take care of her the rest of her life because half of her, almost half. So like 43% of her brain was like removed, the part that like you can't really use. And then some you do use. So like the majority that you need to like function as a human, she had. And her reading level was like at fourth grade comprehension when we met her, which was like a couple years after the accident. And she was paralyzed on like half of her body and she would confuse words. So like she would answer something like, your name is Emily. And she would be like this. Yes. You know what I mean? And it would like, those little signals were a little like, she'd shake her head no. And then like say, yeah, you know, mean yes. Or she would be like, no, like as if she was answering yes, but said the word no and like stuff like that. Like she'd mess up the words. And so they also wanted compensation because like, look at the brain that they had, she had, and now it's gone because of the unsafe crosswalk, really. And so we interviewed literally everyone. We listened to people testify. I felt like an interview, but it was like brain surgeons, people from UC Davis, like all the people from admissions from UC Davis, like hella people from her graduate school. We heard from her parents. We heard from the city, of course, explaining like crosswalks. Like the rules are crazy where it's if this from one point to the other point of the street, like let's say that is 50 feet. If it's 50 feet, then it can be a certain type of paint and stuff on the ground. If it's longer than that, then it has to be another kind of patterning and stuff so that cars from enough feet away have enough time to stop. They can see the crosswalk, let's say from 50 yards away, they have enough time to stop when they get to the crosswalk if they need to. And so like all that math and like geometry and all this stuff, it was glaringly obvious that not only was this crosswalk on an S, it was like this. So like the street was an S. Mm-hmm. And on the bottom curve is right in that blind spot is where the crosswalk is. And the speed limit and everything, like it, what it should have been is a bridge, like a pedestrian bridge that goes over the road. That's what that's the safest up to code, everything. So of course, by halfway through, we were like, dude, this is so obvious. Like, of course, the city is wrong, you know? And then we heard from the boyfriend.
Why is the boyfriend involved?
Well, he was the ex-boyfriend.
He did it.
He didn't, but her parents basically insisted. He had to identify her because that's just who was there first. He was freaking out, right? And he stayed with her for like a year and a couple months after the accident until her parents were like, you can't, this isn't the life you should be living. You know what I mean? Like to watch like the love of your life turn into like a child and then have to take care, you know, like, especially when they were in their young 20s, like her parents just said, go. And he was like in heartbroken still. It was like the most tragic thing I'd ever heard in my life. And then, you know, we heard from like brain surgeons, like the juror next to me passed out during one of the lessons.
Passed out? Oh, like, they were, like asleep.
Yeah. Cause we had to see the pictures of like her injuries basically.
Oh, passed out. Not because they were bored, but because they were like traumatized.
Yeah. They saw a picture of a brain and just like collapsed onto my shoulder. It's like, and you're not supposed to say anything except like, and then like the judge sees you wave him down and then he talks to you, you know, like there's so many protocols that like just like holding this that fainted onto me for like a minute. Yeah, it was really intense.
Oh my God.
But I found out later that we were the high profile case everyone wanted to know about because they were asking for $15.1 million, which they broke down. They literally broke every penny down for us. And so we decided to give them $16.4 million and said, retire, take care of your daughter and just like have a good life, you know?
Wait, you guys got to choose the amount?
Yeah. Yeah. Cause there's a cap. There's always like a range. Like the bottom range was 15.1 to 16.4 is what it would be worth basically. And so they were asking for the minimum amount and we're like, no, fuck that. Like, no.
Dude.
Isn't that insane?
Fucking nuts.
I know. It's crazy. It was like, of course it was a blast. There was like so much action going on, you know?
So was UC Davis's fifth choice the person that hit her?
God, dude. The person that hit her, like we already hated them by the time they walked in. And so they called him and then like, I didn't realize that courtrooms weren't always packed. Like the audiences weren't always packed. Every day we had a packed courtroom. I just figured people were like watching or it was like their family, you know, I didn't realize it was like the media. Anyway, they all start snapping pictures of this person and we couldn't see them forever. And it's because they took, I don't know, 6-7 minutes to shuffle walk to the stand because this man had to have been 100 years old. He was so old. His glasses made him look cross-eyed. Like they were so thick, it made him look cross-eyed and he was blind in one eye. Like he shouldn't have been driving, period. He shouldn't have been driving. He could barely walk, for real.
That's nuts.
It was awful. So we were all just like glaring at this old man struggling to stand up straight, keep his balance to walk to the stand, thinking, are you fucking serious? Like, I already hated you, but now I'm so mad that you were able to drive. Like, who allowed you to have a license? You know what I mean? I'm not mad at him for being old. I'm just mad that he was able to drive. Like, how are we not catching that? Like, you're so old, you can't see, you can't walk, but you can drive a vehicle. Like, no, sorry about it. It was rough. And I think like him being so old, we all had like some empathy for him too. Like, you know, he barely knew what was going on.
I know.
It was like, oh my God, like you don't even know what happened. And like, he went to jail, I think for a couple weeks and then just like was deemed unfit, like had to go home.
Damn.
It was insane.
Well, yeah. I was on the fence before your story, but now I am definitely going to continue my tradition of not going for morning runs.
You see, if you needed a sign, this is it.
This was God's plan for me.
Exactly.
For me. Do we want to do a business corner? Mm-hmm. Okay, let's do it. We're going to give you highlights, lowlights, and even some medium lights from the world of movies and TV. Let's start off with the box office. I know you went to go see Dune. You saw it at home.
Saw it at home, yeah.
You loved it. Oh. I'll be watching it this week. Debut to 40.1 million opening. And this was the biggest for a Warner Brothers film this year. And the biggest for the director of his whole career.
Oh, good for him.
Yes. A- on CinemaScore.
Okay.
And yeah, globally, the movie's at 220 million. So that's awesome.
Yeah, that's great.
Good for them. The French Dispatch, which you want to watch, mm-hmm. opened to 1.3 million. But it was only in 52 theaters. So that's an average of 25,000 per theater, which is amazing.
Wow.
Yes, it's really good. And it has a wider opening this next weekend. So yes, maybe you'll go.
Wouldn't that be so weird if like that outdid Dune or something?
I know. It won't, but no. That'd be crazy. And then next weekend, we're going to get Last Night in Soho, which I'm excited for.
Yeah.
And a horror movie called Antlers, too. Antlers as well, not Antlers too.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. I was like, wait, I saw a commercial or a trailer for Antlers.
Yeah. It looks kind of freaky.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
Something I want to talk about that you might have more familiarity with is what happened on the set of Rust. Mm. The director of photography was shot and killed on the movie set. Like, how serious do they have to take gun safety, like, so seriously, right?
I think the reason why it's such a shock is because everyone who's used a weapon or been around a weapon on set before knows, like, everyone gets trained extensively.
Right.
It could be, you know, one shot is fired and then they all cut and that's it. And still everyone, I'm talking janitors to grips to PAs to every single person is in at least one training session. I mean, like the person who's in charge of the guns, let's say the person who like brings them to set, you know, they're loaning them to the movie. Let's just say they're in charge of them. And that person is about 4 feet from the actor who's shooting it. Just as soon as they're out of frame, that's where they stand, literally. So that the actor can turn around and hand the gun back as soon as they all cut. And so that's like the paranoia level. I feel like that's that I've experienced that should be experienced. And so it's wild to me that there's ammo in there. In this day and age of technology, like why aren't they just adding in the sound effect? You know what I mean?
That's what my question was going to be. Like how, yeah. I don't understand how that even happens.
Yeah. It's bizarre. And it's weird that was it a rubber bullet or was it a blank? Do we know?
I don't know. The article that I pulled this from said that the required gun was to be fired with blanks, but instead a bullet or shrapnel was discharged and struck the director as well as killed Helena Hutchins, who's the director of photography.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And the fact that they were so close to it, which is weird. Usually they're off in like Tent City, which is way far off watching everything on a monitor. It's kind of weird that they were so close to the weapon too. I mean, sets are cleared. Like if there's a blank, let's say for whatever weird reason, the set is cleared where they're pointing. The gun is like cleared for hundreds of feet. Like it's so weird. It's just such a freak accident. I think that's why it's so shocking too, is like, there's no way that could have happened, but it did, you know?
Right.
And I can't imagine Alec Baldwin. I know there's a picture of him. I did not look at it because I can't stomach it. I don't think I'm strong enough to see it. Fathom the guilt and everything that he's got to carry with him now. Oh my mm-hmm. God. And everybody, even like the gun safety guy, like the guy who's in charge of the guns that handles it will be investigated. I think he already is.
Yeah.
You know?
No doubt.
Wild.
Yeah. Alec Baldwin, he did tweet, "There are no words to convey my shock and sadness regarding the tragic accident that took the life of Helena Hutchins, a wife, a mother, and deeply admired colleague of ours. I'm fully cooperating with the police investigation to address how this tragedy occurred. And I am in touch with her husband, offering my support to him and his family. My heart is broken for her husband, their son, and all who knew and loved Helena." That is so sad.
I know.
I can't imagine.
Oh my God. The only thing I keep telling myself when I get sad about it is that, like, she died doing what she loves, which just, like, helps me breathe again, you know? Because mm-hmm. it's just, yeah, I can't imagine, like, going to work one day and then, like, that baby never sees his mommy again. You know what I mean? That's like, time. I know. It's wild. And it's crazy. And who knows what's going to happen. I don't know if they'll do jail time or anything like that. Maybe the guy who administered or put the actual bullet in there. Like, you know what I mean? Who was in charge of that might, but I don't think Alec Baldwin will see any charges. I'm sure he'll ask for some or pay for all the funeral stuff. You know what I mean? He's such a nice guy. Like.
Yeah. Well, rest in peace.
Yes.
Thoughts with her family for sure. Ryan Gosling.
Oh, what better way to lighten the mood than with Ryan right. Gosling.
That beautiful man. Do you know what his next role is going to be?
No.
He's going to be playing Ken in Greta Gerwig's Barbie movie, opposite Margot Robbie.
Yes. Barbie.
He's in final negotiations to play the iconic Mattel character. Gerwig will be directing and co-writing the script.
Okay.
Originally, the Gosling was their number one choice. Like, sure. We don't want anyone but Gosling, but he had initially passed on it because he was busy with the schedule. Oh. Hello. But as pre-production dragged out, the studio remained persistent with him being their only choice and an opening in his schedule happening. It allowed him to sign on to the project.
Nice.
Yes. Plot details are still unknown, but oh my God, what a beautiful couple.
Ugh, can't wait.
Maybe I don't want to go see it because I'll just be jealous of how beautiful they are.
True, we'll see. But I'll probably
watch. We'll see.
Yeah.
Olivia Colman.
Oh,
is in a new movie with Dakota Johnson. It's called The Lost Daughter. Have you seen anything or heard anything about this?
I have heard about a lot of it.
The trailer just dropped.
Oh. I'm not a big Dakota Johnson fan.
Me neither. But this movie looks kind of good. So let me just start from the beginning. This is Maggie Gyllenhaal's directorial debut.
Right. Cute. Okay.
There's immense Oscar buzz for Colman's lead performance. Basically, the motherhood is a beach for Olivia Colman and Dakota Johnson in the first trailer, which sees. Do you know anything about the movie?
No.
Okay, so basically, a woman named Lita, who's played by Colman, is at a seaside resort where she becomes obsessed with Nina, who's played by Dakota Johnson, and her daughter, her, like, little daughter. Like, it was almost giving me, like, You and Isla vibes, being, like, the mom and daughter.
Yeah.
So while they're at this resort, Colman's character begins watching Nina and her child as they play on the beach and soon begins following them all around town. And it's kind of creepy because you don't see, like, Olivia Colman being, like, a creeper stalker kind of person, but yeah, ooh. It looks kind of cray, ooh. But it looks like there's, like, a deeper, like, there's like flashbacks with Colman, like, as a younger woman and her then daughter.
Yeah.
So it looks like there's some kind of connection there. That,
oh, weird.
I know.
Maybe it's like her daughter and her granddaughter. Estranged.
Ooh. This will be released in theaters December 17th and then will be on Netflix on New Year's Eve, December 31st.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'll go ahead and wait for that.
Me too.
Okay.
Dr. Brain, which is a new Apple TV Plus show, is a Korean thriller and has a date and a trailer. Have you seen this at all yet?
No, I heard about it.
Yeah, it looks good. I mean, Korean thrillers are the new thing, right?
Apparently, yeah.
So basically, it follows a brilliant brain scientist who suffers a horrific personal tragedy when his family falls victim to a mysterious accident. Desperate to uncover what happened, he goes to extraordinary lengths to solve the tragic mystery by conducting brain syncs with the dead to access their memories for clues. It's very Black Mirror looking. Have you ever seen Black Mirror?
Ugh, once.
One of the characters is from the, I think the main character, he's from Parasite, if you saw that.
Yeah.
The series is going to be 6 episodes, and it's actually the first Korean language series from Apple TV Plus.
Oh, okay.
Cute. Sarah Jessica Parker gets cozy with actor who is not Chris Noth on the Sex and the City revival.
Yes.
So are we saying goodbye to Big? Like,
yes.
Finally?
Yes.
She was picture getting. No, it's someone else. His name is John Tenney. John Tenney. I've never heard of him in my life.
Maybe he's the rebound.
Yeah. And then he goes, then she goes to Aiden, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's pictures of them getting really close, almost like for sure what looks to be like a kiss in front of her famous brownstone. And then just a little bit of news that also came from the Sex and the City revival is the fact that Cynthia Nixon is going to be directing an episode. She's super excited. She said that everyone's, you know, really positive and behind her. She shared a picture of that on Instagram.
Oh, that's good for her. I feel like they're kind of redoing this, and they're also like, I feel like they left on a very toxic level. Like they exited that show where the set was just like uncomfortable, and now they're back with like their dream team and whatever hurt feelings that may entail. I don't know, but it does feel like they're kind of getting to live like what they wanted to live beforehand. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, our 50s. A little less chaotic than your 30s, I feel like.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah, they have to be because I'm 3 months in and I'm exhausted.
Yeah, it is chaotic.
And then just because it's October and this is our last episode in October.
I was like, wait, what?
I have to end this on like a kind of a scary news note, right?
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, it's not that scary, but a Nightmare on Elm Street house is for sale.
But the price has
not been slashed. So Freddy Krueger no longer lives there, as far as we know.
Okay.
But the house made famous by A Nightmare on Elm Street can now be yours for a cool $3.25 million.
Oh, no big deal.
The house, which is located on 1428 North Genesee in Los Angeles, is a Dutch colonial with 3 bedrooms and 4 bathrooms. So please click the link in our bio. We're sharing the GoFundMe so that we can purchase the house. And that could be our official recording spot.
Oh my God. Or Samir. Do you know Samir?
Who's that?
Oh my God. He's so funny. Yeah, it's at Samir. S-A-M-I-R. He basically reviews celebrity houses. But he's hilarious, and he goes through each thing and says, this is what we love, this is what we don't love, and he tears apart all these things that are perfect. It's one of the funniest things I've ever seen. But yeah, he goes through so many different celebrities' houses if they're up for sale or whatever. You'll die. It's really funny. Everyone go follow him. Samir.
Hey, Samir. And that's Vince's Corner, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Now let's talk about some Hocus Pocus.
Let's do it. Did you rewatch the whole thing?
Yes, I just rewatched it today. Did you rewatch half of it?
I'm just wondering if you made it all the way through. It was kind of boring.
Boring? B-O-R-I-N-G, is that what you said?
Well, yeah. I felt like a 90s kids movie.
Yeah, there's a difference between boring and nostalgic, Emily.
Yeah, I don't know. It was hard for me to pay attention the whole time. I love it. It's still nostalgic to me. It's still my childhood. It still happens to be my sexual awakening movie.
It was with Billy, huh?
No. Well, okay. First of all, the kid in the beginning, Zach, turns into a cat, right?
Isn't it? It's Thackeray.
No, it was when like Sarah Jessica Parker is sitting on the bus driver's lap. You know, I wanted to be her. Like I wanted that guy to look at my big bouncing boobs like he looked at hers.
My dude, why did I feel the exact same way? I also wanted to be her, and I wanted him to be looking at my big bouncing boobs like that.
That's our title name for this episode, is Big Bouncing Boobs. Yeah, I mean, listen, it was great. It was good to see it. It's just like, it's like seeing an old friend. You're like, oh my God, this was so much fun. We'll catch up. We'll talk about old times. And then 10 minutes in, you're like, okay, we're all caught up. We talked about all our fun memories. And
I see what you're saying. It's like when you see someone from, like you were saying, a long time ago.
Yeah.
And you're like, part of me wants to say, let's catch up sometime. But then part of me is like, listen, maybe our relationship is really only meant to be, we see each other at Costco once a year. And then that's that. And that's okay.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
you can't be friends with every single person that you come across in life.
Yeah. I literally just told Isla that this afternoon because she was so bummed that she didn't make friends with this mean boy. And I said, babe, you can't be friends with everyone. You don't have enough time. I want to be friends with Hocus Pocus forever, but I don't need to see it on the rig. You know what I mean?
I don't know. For me, I feel like it is a Halloween tradition. Like,
yeah.
you just have to. It's like picking a pumpkin or drinking apple cider. It's like, you just have to.
Sure. No, I feel you. I was kind of let down. I was kind of bummed.
Damn. Maybe you're only supposed to watch it like once every 2 to 3 years or 4 or 5 or 6 or 7, 10.
I know. When was the last time I saw it? At least 10 years ago.
Oh, you should have loved it then, honestly. Yes. I'm just going to give a synopsis for anyone who maybe hasn't seen it.
Okay.
If you haven't, I don't even know what to say to you. After moving to Salem, Massachusetts, teenager Max Dennison explores an abandoned house with his sister Danny and their new friend Allison. After dismissing a story Allison tells about a superstitious witch tale, Max accidentally frees a coven of evil witches who used to live in the house. Now, with the help of a magical cat, the kids must steal the witch's book of spells to stop them from becoming immortal. The cast: Bette Midler, icon. Sarah Jessica Parker, another icon. Kathy, how do you pronounce her last name?
Don't know.
Also, he's iconic.
So iconic, she doesn't even need a last name.
I mean, you do see Thora Birch every now and then in something, but like the other ones, like, where did they go?
I looked up the kid that plays Thackeray, and he is currently a hairdresser in LA. There you go.
Checks out. Right. I think, okay, so this movie has, and this might support your theory and then it's not that great. The tomato meter is 38%, but the audience score is 71%. 38% on tomato meter, 71% on audience score.
I mean, maybe I just, out. Maybe I'm too bougie now. Like, I'm too much of a real critic.
Maybe, honestly, maybe your taste has changed. Like
cute.
You used to like onions, or you just think they're okay.
All right.
Or you'll do it with them, but like you don't choose them.
I'm not bashing them at all. I'm not bashing it at all. I'm just also not like super stoked about it. You know?
I feel like if you were born in the 80s or 90s, this film has more than likely become a staple in your fall time rituals.
What are you saying? And that I'm old? That I wasn't born in the 80s or 90s?
No, you were.
Just kidding.
But like, imagine if you were not born in the 80s or 90s and you were watching this for the first time now. Would it give you that magic?
No, like maybe that's why I was watching it. Because I'm watching it like with Isla's filter now, you know, or like I'm watching it through her eyes too, maybe. Like I'm also screening it as like,
maybe
this is going to be entertaining or not. It's I mean, just the movies that I've seen, even Ron's Gone Wrong, it's just so different and entertaining. I'm kind of bummed just because now I have like a sad taste in my mouth that it's like not as good as I remembered.
Damn.
Like an ex-boyfriend, you're like, oh my God, were you that ugly the whole time? Or like, was my memory askew? Like what? Damn it.
I'm so shook right now.
I know. You know, it's been emotional. It's been an emotional day.
Well, I want to say Thora Birch is 100% so adorable in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Icon.
Yeah.
What does work for you in this movie? Anything?
Yeah, I mean, I think the lack of nuance is fun. It's like very campy and very like over the top. Yeah, and just like they really played into like spooky being partly serious, partly not, which I thought was really cute. Like that was the tone, was like spooky is kind of funny, but kind of creepy at the same time.
Yeah.
That's cute. And the acting, of course, I mean, the iconic actors and yeah, just nostalgia, all those things.
I think I missed this as a kid, but did you know that Billy was, I caught it this time, obviously, but Billy was Winifred's lover, but she caught him cheating on her with Sarah's character.
Really? No, I didn't catch that at all.
Yeah. I was like, what? Queen of being petty, though. She so does not shy and like murder him.
Well,
I don't know if I missed what the connection was, but he had the number 13 in Roman numerals stitched into his face. Is that
Oh, just 13, like was always the unlucky number.
Is it? Okay, that's what it is then.
It's like hotels and stuff, like they don't have a 13th floor usually. It's like a cursed unlucky number is 13.
Do you know what my favorite part of this movie is?
Sarah Jessica Parker's bouncing boobs.
That's definitely top two.
Okay.
Not gonna lie. I think my favorite part of this movie is I Put a Spell on You performance.
Oh, yeah.
How could it not be?
I mean, the performances alone are great. You're right.
Yeah. I love when movies are able to have adult humor and not just be like, because clearly it's a kid's movie, but like, I love when they sneak in that adult shit.
I know. They pull it off. It's so good. It is really funny. I do remember laughing a couple times. But what? I don't know.
Right. I don't know.
Yeah, it felt like they were just to showcase Bette Midler and introduce this new star, SJP. And you know what I mean? Like it felt very pandery.
I could see that. Yeah.
No.
I do have a question for you.
Uh-oh. Okay.
If Hocus Pocus had never existed before.
Okay.
And the movie was being cast right now in today's times.
Okay.
Who would we want to see play the Sanderson sisters?
Oh, man. Okay. I think Pink should play Bette Midler's character. Why don't I know their names?
Winifred.
Okay, her. I think Pink should be her.
Sarah is Sarah's character's name.
I'm going to put Camila Cabello in there.
Interesting.
Because at least she can sing too. We can have everybody sing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
We add a couple songs. You would have to add a couple songs nowadays.
And what about Mary? Okay.
I feel like she could be, I don't know. Who do you think?
Okay, so for Winifred, I think Emma Stone could bring something to that character.
Oh, cute. Okay.
I think Viola Davis could bring something to that character. And I also think that America Ferrera could bring something to that character.
Oh, I miss her.
For Sarah, I have Margot Robbie.
Okay.
Kiki Palmer or Aubrey Plaza.
And then
for Mary, I have Octavia Spencer.
That's who I was thinking, Octavia Spencer. But I was like, I don't want typecaster.
You know? She would be so good. Mindy Kaling.
Oh, yeah.
Or even, I don't know if you know who this is, but her name is Justina Machado. Mm-mm. She was in the show One Day at a Time. She was the mom. Oh, she would be perfect in that role. I know it.
Okay.
But you know they are making a sequel, right?
Are they?
It's filming right now.
With the same cast or a new cast?
Just the Sanderson sisters are the same.
Okay.
As of now, so far.
Okay.
Yeah. Ricky was telling me that Bette Midler is in her 70s now.
See, she's hella old.
Yeah.
Right? Like she's in like her 70s.
She could sit in a chair the whole movie and I'll be okay with it. I don't care.
Yeah, I know, but I still want her to sing and be ridiculous.
Yeah. So here's what we know so far about Hocus Pocus 2.
Okay.
Disney Plus, it's a Disney Plus movie. It was announced in May 2021 that Midler, Parker, and Kathleen and Jimmy would be reprising their roles in the Halloween themed sequel. Thora Birch, who played Dani, and Vanessa Shaw, who played Allison, have both voiced that they would love to be a part of it. Official casting notices for them have not been announced. Sam Richardson, who we all know and love from our review of The Tomorrow War, is in talks to join the film.
Yay!
Love that. Adam Shankman, who is known for Hairspray and Step Up, was pegged to direct it, but due to conflicting schedules with his directing duties for Disenchanted, which is the second Enchanted film.
Okay.
He'll be stepping into the role of an executive producer. And instead, Anne Fletcher, who is known for 27 Dresses and The Proposal, mm-hmm. will be picking up that directorial chair.
Okay.
Filming is currently underway. The crew is spotted in Providence, Rhode Island in October 2021.
Cute.
And it's currently set to premiere in fall of 2022.
Well, alrighty then. I'm
ready. Let's do it.
Let's do it. Maybe this will be great. Maybe it'll be like a nice surprise and like fix all the kinks for me at the first.
I have a feeling it's going to go in the really cheesy, overly CGI route that movies just tend to do nowadays.
I know. I did like that. I'll say that too. I did like, it was a nice break from like a lot of CGI stuff, especially because I watched Dune and then I watched Hocus Pocus. Maybe that was a problem too. But yeah, it was nice to see like a lot of the scenes grounded in reality, clearly shot in somewhere that like actually existed, not in front of a green screen. So yeah, that was nice. I like that too. Seeing stuff was like, you know, lasers done in person rather than in a computer or something like that. It was nice.
Yeah. Is there anything else you loved or hated about this movie?
No, I think I probably got it all out.
Cool. Do you think I can run through a few fun facts about this movie?
Yeah, go ahead.
Let's do it. To close out this app.
Mm-hmm.
The animatronic cat would later be used in Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Cute. Oh, cute.
During a 20th anniversary screening of the film, Doug Jones revealed that the moths that came out of his mouth at the end are real and not CGI.
Ew.
The role of Max Dennison was originally offered to Leonardo DiCaprio. Oh. He turned it down to appear in What's Eating Gilbert Grape.
Nice.
That's a good movie.
Good for him.
Disney bought the script in 1984, sat on the project for 8 years, and the original title was Disney's Halloween House, and it was supposed to be much darker and scarier.
Oh. I'd like to see that.
I know. Hocus Pocus was directed by Kenny Ortega. Okay. He is the director behind High School Musical and The Cheetah Girls.
Oh.
Is this real? I can't. On the Hocus Pocus 25th anniversary Halloween bash, which was in 2018, Sarah Jessica Parker revealed that she actually ate the spider.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
She was drunk. I don't believe that.
Like the spider was made when it was made out of a, like, was it a real spider? There's no way.
No way. It looks it was so made out of like,
right. There's no way. Like, you actually ate it? Maybe. I'll believe that.
Unless it was like a gummy worm spider.
Right. I was going to say it was made out of Reese's Pieces and like some licorice or something.
Then yeah, I believe you. But if it was a real, no, I don't believe that.
I don't know. That was a little weird.
Sounds like folklore.
When Bette Midler takes the stage at the town Halloween party, she says, "Hello, Salem. My name is Winifred. What's yours?" This is a take off of the famous line, "Hello, everybody. My name is Rose. What's yours?" spoken by Madame Rose in the musical Gypsy. Midler played Madame Rose in the television version the same year this film was released. Cute.
Did she get her lines mixed up, or was that like an homage to herself?
I think it was an homage.
To herself. Okay.
We stand. Disney Easter egg, a child was dressed up as Mrs. Potts for the trick-or-treating.
Oh, cute.
Off the bus. I saw the costume. I was like, that is such a cute costume.
Oh, what a great idea.
In the scene where the Sanderson sisters meet Satan, Satan and his wife are played by well-known directors Penny and Gary Marshall.
Oh my gosh, of course, Gary Marshall.
And they are actually brother and sister in real life.
Oh, uncomfortable. Gary Marshall was, I feel like he rode the edge a little bit. He really rode that line of appropriate versus not.
Yeah, agreed.
Well, you did give us Princess Diaries, so it's hard for me to be mad.
We'll take it. Rosie O'Donnell was originally offered the role of Mary Sanderson.
Mm-hmm.
Rosie claims on her blog that she turned down the offer to work with Bette Midler because she didn't want to be a scary witch. Okay. Jennifer Lopez auditioned for the role of Sarah Sanderson.
Oh.
Floris Leachman was the producer's first choice to play Winifred. I could see that for sure. Mm-hmm. You could see a kid wearing a Michael Myers mask and clown suit in front of the devil's house. Shout out, Michael, if you're listening, I stand you. There were
no hard feelings, Michael. No hard feelings. We love you. Thank you.
There were 7 statues made of Bette Midler for the scene in which she bursts in the sunlight towards the end of the movie. Yeah. One of the statues, along with Winnie's spellbook, is housed at the Planet Hollywood restaurant in Orlando, Florida.
Wow.
Taking a trip. Let's go.
Yeah. Bye.
Middletown, Ohio has an annual Hocus Pocus festival every October.
Okay. That's cute.
Yeah, I would go to that for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
When Danny and Allison are dancing after the burning of the Sanderson sisters, the fountain in the background is the same fountain from the opening credits of Friends.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah. The film wasn't even originally released during Halloween. It was released July 16th, 1993. It was released in July so that it wouldn't compete with The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And Hocus Pocus was originally considered a flop. It debuted in 4th place at the box office and earned just a total of $39.5 million in its initial theatrical run. However, it eventually earned cult status, as we all know.
Right.
And it even hit the number 2 spot at the box office in October 2020, nearly 30 years after it was first released.
Oh, wow.
That's great. Well, I mean, like, nothing was really being released.
That's true.
But still, that's pretty sick. And last but not least, Sarah Jessica Parker is related to a woman who's famously accused of being a witch in real life.
Wow.
That's nuts.
That's pretty cool. What is a witch nowadays anyways? What is that? Is that just like a psychic or like, what are we calling like a witch?
No, I mean, from the old days.
Oh, I think like now.
She went on a show that's called Who Do You Think You Are to trace your family history. And she discovered that one of her ancestors was Esther Elwell, who was a woman accused of being a witch during the Salem witch trials.
Wow.
Yes. Nuts.
Cool. That's really cool.
And that's what I've got to tell you about Hocus Pocus.
Perfection.
What do you rate this movie at this time?
This is going to be painful.
Oh, no.
This is going to hurt my soul. I'm going to give it 2.5. 2.5 bouncing boobies.
It's the half bouncing boobie for me. I'm going to go ahead and give it 3.5 spellbooks.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Gorgeous.
Happy Halloween, everybody.
Now, if you don't mind, Emily would like to go enjoy her Chipotle.
And I'm going to have some Halloween candy.
Deal. Happy Halloween. Don't get cavities from all the Reese's peanut. Oh.
Reese's penises.
Gordian slip. Thanks for listening, guys.
Bye.
Bye.